Good evening, everyone. It is almost Rosh Hashanah of 5783. We have the s'chus of learning together in the fourth perek of Das Tfila. So we saw what we're trying to figure out is what karbanos are about, and then trying to understand from that what tefillah is about. So we discussed a number of theories, but now we're getting into some very, very, very deep ideas. And it's not till we really can understand these ideas that we can bring them back to tefillah. That's a pattern that our author has taken in a number of different chapters. But we need to go really deep into an idea. And then once we have a sense of what that idea is, then we can come back and see how we could daven, differently. So let's remember where we are. The Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra gave several explanations of why we bring a korban. Right? The first was that it is somehow a vicarious death experience. I'm supposed to imagine that I am the animal, and that is supposed to correct my impression about myself vis-a-vis God, etc., etc. But now we've turned to the second section of the Ramban, which we're going to read tonight, and that is Al Pi Sod. And when we say Sod, we're basically talking about Kabbalah. The Ramban was one of the first, if not the first, to include Kabbalah in his commentary on Chumash, to explain things on multiple levels. His Talmidim, including Rabbeinu Bachya, followed that approach, where something was explained on a pshat level, on a simple level, and then it was explained on a deeper level. And this is what we're going to try to understand at this point. Okay, so he says as follows. Va'al derech ha'emes, and in truth, okay, whether the Ramban uses the language derech ha'emes, in truth, or whether he uses the word sod, a secret, he's talking about Kabbalah. Va'al derech ha'emes yesh b'karbano sod ne'elam. He goes, there is a very, very hidden secret in the karbanos. Tikanes bo mima she'amu rabuseinu b'sifri b'sof menachos. We will enter. We'll enter into this mystical, secret land, secret place of what the karbanos about, with a commentary, with something from the Gemara. Right? The Ramban's very rarely going to quote a Kabbalistic source itself. He quotes a Gemara at the end of Menachos. How bad could this be, right? How hard could this be to understand? Sure. Amar Shimon ben Azai. Okay. Shimon ben Azai says as follows. Bo re'e maxi beparshas ha-karbanos. Take a good look at the Chumash and see what words are used when the Torah speaks about karbanos. Shalonam Abraham lo el v'lo Elohecha, v'lo Elohim, v'lo Shaddai, v'lo Tzevaot. God uses many, many, many different terms for himself in the Chumash. Of course, none of them are his name. He doesn't have a name. A name is a way to describe something. So when we try to describe God, we use a name. How do we describe God? We've talked about this before. All we could do is describe God's actions. We can't really understand why he does what he does. We can't really ascribe motivation to God when he seems to interact with us. But when he acts in a way that if a human being were doing it, we say is kind, is a sign of kindness, we call him kind at that moment. It's not, because it's much deeper. It's much more perfect. So we know that there are different names that God uses. Points out the Gemara that for the most part, again, there's different phrases where other things are used, but for the most part, only the name Yud He Vav He is used, the name Havaya. Shelo Litein Pischon Peh LeBaal Din Lachlok. says the Gemara, and quoted by the Ramban, because we don't want someone to imagine that karbanos are going to different gods. There's something about karbanos that is intended to crown one and only God. And even though the Torah is filled with mitzvos, and sometimes in the context of mitzvos it uses the name Hashem, and sometimes it uses the name Elohim, and sometimes it uses the name Shakai. But karbanos, whose primary purpose is simply to point out that there is one God, we would never want that service to lead to any confusion about how many gods there are. Because, as we'll see, the idea of korban is to show that there's only one God. How does it do that? Remember, we learned in the last parak the beautiful idea of the Maharal. That the Maharal explained that when we bring a korban to Hashem, we are bringing it back to Hashem. Back to Hashem. He doesn't need our animal. He doesn't need fleshiks. He doesn't need all these things. But we show that it was all his from the first place. Right? So the idea of korbanos is to take things and give them back to God. To take things from the animal world, to take things from the plant world. The salt goes up there from the mineral world, to take all of the kinds of things we have in this world and to show that we understand that they're all part of God. They all belong to God. They were all his in the first place. Because karbanos are supposed to show us this powerful idea that there's only one God, the Torah made sure that we always say we bring a karban laHashem. We don't bring a karban lElokim. We don't bring a korban to Kel, because we wouldn't want, in this mitzvah, which is all about showing this one God, we wouldn't want someone to imagine, well, today I'm bringing a korban to Elohim, and tomorrow I'm going to bring it to Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the next day I'll bring it. Okay? That's what the Gemara says at the end of Menachos. V'hu ma'amar chachamim. And that is the same thing that's also mentioned in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rikan kol ha'avodos kulon l'shem ha'miyuchad. We dumped out, we emptied out all of the avodos, all of karbanos is just to the shem ha'miyuchad. The shem ha'miyuchad, the one, the singular name, the ultimate name of God is Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. Okay? Good. So says the Ramban. Shelo litein pischon peh. What does it mean in the Gemara in Menachos when it says you shouldn't give an opening to people to make a mistake? Le'omrim rishuyot harbehein. There are people who make the following mistake, and they think some things are controlled by God, some things aren't controlled by God. God has different parts. There's three gods. God has different moods. The purpose of Karbanos is to show that it's all coming from the same place. And we'll understand how deep this idea goes in this chapter more than we ever understood. Inyan ze masur lanu hakadmonim zal munach b'shem korban. This idea that korbanos are about showing that there's one God, about bringing everything together, about showing that everything in the world, and as we'll see, especially the bad stuff, especially the things that we can't imagine come from God, or perhaps the things that are so insignificant, we don't attribute them to God. He says that is contained in the world, the word korban. Now, I always thought korban meant to get close to God, right? Somehow I get close to God. That's what the word korban. He says, no. V'chol lashon korban, lashon kreva ve'achdut. Korban is an idea of taking all these disparate pieces and bringing them together. I'm not just bringing myself close to God. I'm bringing everything in the world around me and I'm connecting them back to God. You can already imagine how this is going to impact tefillah. Right? I'm not simply bringing myself close to God. If I was bringing myself close to God, I would just meditate. but I do something that relates to the most, that impacts, that speaks about, that connects to the most mundane parts of my life. I do something that connects all of the things that are going wrong in my life, all the things that are empty or broken or non-godly, and I bring them together and I connect them to God. Very profound concept. V'kachu midrasho shel Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Anybody know what the medrash of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is? Nechunya ben Akana was one of the Tanoim. He supposedly wrote the Sefer HaBahir and a couple of other Kabbalistic works. I have never taken a tour of Sefer HaBahir, maybe sometime later in my life. So he says, why is it, and this is the same comment made in the Sefer HaBahir in the Kabbalah, Amai Ikri Korban, Ela Alshem Shemekarev Hatsuros HaKadoshos, he brings together the holy forms, Kedichtiv V'karavotam Echad El Echad V'hayula Achadim B'yadecha. I have no idea what that means, but that's okay. I don't have to know what that means. In other words, somehow the word Korban is taking all of these things in the universe and bringing them together. He quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel about bringing two staves together. The pasuk in Yechezkel is about bringing the Malchut, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom together once and for all. Nothing to do with this, that somehow Korban is bringing together, stringing together everything in the world and bringing it back to God. And here we go. Umavar zos haRamchal. And so says the Ramchal. Now the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzatto, had many, many Kabbalistic writings. He has several books that are not openly Kabbalistic. And in many cases, he wrote those later in life when people banned him from talking about Kabbalah anymore. So he wrote not so Kabbalistic looking books, right? But there are passages, even some of those non-Kabbalistic books, that get pretty Kabbalistic. And this is one of them, okay? The Ramchal's most readable books are, anybody? What are the Ramchal's most readable books? He has Mesilas Yesharim, that's by far the most readable book. That's a Musar book on the surface. Then he has Derech Hashem, which in Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's translation looks like the easiest thing in the world, but it's a very deep thing. And then he has Da'as Tvunos, a discussion between the heart and the mind. He says in Da'as Tvunos the following. Listen to this one. Ve'amnam iluyo shel hakavod, Na'aseh mikoach kol hanimtzaot kulam lumineim. The Ramchal makes the following assumption. The purpose of the world is somehow that we be able to bring glory to God. We be able to show that we be able to praise God, we be able to acknowledge God. But he says, the iluyo shel hakavod, the highest level of kavod that could go to Hashem is when we take every little tiny thing in the world and we allow that also to connect to God, to be connected to God. Kol echad lefi ha-pe'ula ha-miyuched eslo. Every single speck of dust in this earth was created to somehow add to the glory of God. Shehakol bara lichvodo, we say at a chuppah. Not just the chassan and kala, not just the guests. Shehakol bara lichvodo. Every ant, every bug, everything that happens was all created somehow to somehow reveal the glory of Hashem. Vizos haisa kavanoso shel hakoen ba'asoso avodos hakarbonos. And in mystical terms, this is what the Kohen did when he served in the Beis HaMikdash. Bifrat b'korban hatamid. especially in the daily sacrifice. Shne'emar bo et korbani lachmi. My korban, my food. Now we know that God doesn't eat. So what does it mean that at the time of the korban tamid, that God is giving out, is we're dealing with God's food? If it's not going to him, it's somehow through the avoda coming into the entire world. It's the food of God that's coming back down into this world. Shehu ma shemakrivim lefan of Yisparach b'choyom v'yom leto eles kol hanim tzaot kulam. When the Kohen offered the Korban Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash, he opened up channels to provide a life force for every single thing in the planet. Every single thing in the planet was nourished by this korban that the korban tamid, at the time of the korban tamid. V'haya mechavein bo la'alot kvodo shel makom baruch hu mikibutz kol haminim shehanimtzaos. Shebenimtzaos. And his goal was to connect at that moment every single thing in the created world back to God and to somehow have that be a kavod for Hashem. That everything has meaning, everything is from God, everything is facing God. You thought he was sacrificing an animal, he was throwing some blood. He was thinking, says the Ramchal, about the needs of every creature in the world, and somehow reconnecting them to each other and to God. Kol echad lefi mashenogeelo. Everything in terms of what its particular needs were. He was nourishing the entire universe at the moment that he was bringing the Korban Tamid. V'zos haisa chachma gedola. And this was a tremendous chachma. He had to be mechavein to be thinking about somehow bringing down the glory of Hashem, the shefa of Hashem, the plenty, the blessing of God, and bringing it down to him. So he was on the one hand bringing a korban to God, and with that, bringing down the shefa, the entire world. That's why it says that the sifse kohen, the lips of the kohen, were about understanding. Because the kohen, at the moment that he brought this bracha, he had to be thinking the most incredible thoughts, understanding every creature, understanding how everything fits into the world. V'hayu mechuvanim lekasher kol hanivraim beborei, and his goal at that moment was to connect every single created thing to the Creator. V'yodim ma shetzarich lahashlamas inyan zeh u'machavnim b'chol ha'protim ma'mistarchem, and he understood in a deep way what every creature needed from God, and he was collecting it from God and somehow sending it out into the world. What in the world is the Maharamchal talking about? What is he talking about? So I believe what he's saying is as follows. That animal that he brought to God reconnected the physical world with the divine. By taking that animal and saying, this is yours, what he basically did was he lifted up the spirit, the physical world, and reconnected it, replugged it in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once that plug was in, it meant the end of that animal, but it meant the ability for the influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do it, to come back into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides his bounty into the world when I connect, when I plug things back into him. That's the way it works. I have been given the task as a Kohen in the Mikdash. I'm given the task of reconnecting things. How do I reconnect things with him? By reinforcing that they're his. Oh God, this is yours. Take care of it. This is your world. This is a world that's dependent on you. Take care of it. How do I do that in prayer? I'll skip ahead a little bit because it's so deep otherwise. The idea is simply that by talking to God about the mundane areas of my life, by asking him to fix the darkness in my life, I connect those areas of my life to him. If I'm having a problem, if I'm having something, and it's very easy when there's something missing in my life, for me to imagine for a moment that it's missing because God isn't there. It's missing because somehow God forgot about it or forgot about me. When I turn to him and I say, I know that you are the one, you are here in this darkness. You are the reason why I don't have this. I don't know why, I don't understand, but that just because I don't have it, it doesn't mean that area of my life is not connected to you. Here, God, I'm going to plug that area of my life into you. And now you're free to bring down the bracha to fill that void. And the darker that place is, and the more I could imagine that that place is not a godly place or not a godly aspect of my life, the more I'm able to take those things and connect them back to God, the more places that God's influence can flow. So you might think, let's take an example, not of something bad, but of something insignificant, right? It's a famous story about Rabbi Nachman. That Rabbi Nachman would say that, the smallest, tiniest things in your life, you should pray to God for, right? There's stories about him and others saying, if you need a new pair of shoes, so you ask God for a new pair of shoes. If a button comes off your jacket, you should ask God for a new button for your jacket. It's like, on the one hand, you could say, God really needs my button. Like he doesn't have enough problems today. He needs to worry about my button. The answer is the big things are already connected to God because everybody understands that they come from God and everybody understands that God is needed there. But if I'm able to take the smallest things in my life and I'm able to ask God for them, then I basically have lifted them up from material things to godly things. And I've taken areas of my life that God is not involved with, and I've connected them back up to him. I've raised them up to him. And now his bounty can flow into those areas of my life as well. It's a very, very, very profound idea. The areas of our life that were perhaps not only insignificant, but the areas of our life that perhaps we're not so proud of. Do we talk to God about them? When we say slichos, when we say the vidui, we're doing more than confessing. What we're doing is we're allowing God into the darkest places of our personality, the darkest moments of our days, the places that are the least godly, right? Sin is a very ungodly condition. But when we take those moments and we connect them back to God, even if we don't change our actions, even if we don't improve what we did, by merely taking those aspects and bringing them into a conversation with God, we've allowed God's light to shine on a place that otherwise was very dark until then. even if we don't have the power to fix everything. By acknowledging, as we'll see, that even when things are bad, that we know that that's also God. God is here, God is there, God is everywhere. God is part of me when I sin, God is part of me when I'm good, God is there in the disasters. We don't understand why, we don't understand what it is. But that's effectively what we're doing, is we're taking things that are otherwise mundane, and that's what the Kohen's job was. The Kohen's job was, through the Korban, to take the mundane earth. And again, it answers so many questions. Why is it that the Beis HaMikdash was such a mundane place? Right? It was mostly about basically hamburgers. It was about meat and bread. I mean, that's what they did. That's what they did, is they ate meat, they had bread. It was a very, very, very earthy kind of place. Isn't it a bigger Kiddush Hashem to separate from the earth and to serve him from that place? But the biggest Kiddush Hashem, as we'll learn, is to show that the places that one might have thought were devoid of God, he's completely a part of them. That's the biggest Kiddush Hashem. To say that when something happens to me that is, I see as fortunate, to thank God for the fortunate, that's one level of Kiddush Hashem. To thank God for the unfortunate, or to at least acknowledge God in the unfortunate, that's a much bigger Kiddush Hashem. To say Hatova Hameitiv is not nearly the Kiddush Hashem as the Baruch Dayanamis. That is the truth. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash had to be a place whose job it was to convert the physical into the spiritual, effectively. To take the physical and to turn it into spiritual. On the one hand, that was done through destroying. And we said that that's really what a korban is. Korban is taking the physical and saying, I don't need this, and this is not mine, and this is not the ultimate. By taking things that were very valuable, animals were much more valuable in those days than we think of them today. To take things of value and to show, with Hashem's instruction to do so, that these things that are physical are not as real as the one that I'm bringing them to. And they're not as important as the one that I'm bringing them to. So that was the job of the Beis HaMikdash. It was specifically a converter, a huge converter, where you took very physical things and you either made them disappear or sanctified them or both. And you turned them into the spiritual. And that's really the opportunity we have with the smallest things that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The smallest things that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, a person can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for so many things that they will never get done with Shmoneh Esrei. If you're asking from everything, you know, can I have a right shoe today? Can I have a left shoe today? Can I have laces in my shoes? It's got to be some, you know, some limit. But certainly what I try to do during Shmoneh Esrei is, if something pops into my head, even the most mundane of needs, I try to ask for it in Shmoneh Esrei. Right? If I'm davening a mincha and I didn't have a chance to eat lunch yet, and I get a little bit of hunger, so I say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, could you, you know, get me lunch? You know, could you get me something from Chop Chop? Could you help me out here, right? What did I do? I just took lunch, and I was makadosh et HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is exactly what happens in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? I took something which was a mundane need, something which was unholy in and of itself, and I suddenly connected it to the, I plugged it into the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what we have the opportunity to do with every request we make of Hashem, with every bracha rishona we make of Hashem. Right? We find that brachas rishonos are a drag. Gotta say a bracha, I'm so hungry, right? We always know that feeling, a little kid, like he can't finish the bracha before he gets it in his mouth, right? He can't wait that long. You know what I do? I'm lighting up that object. I'm injecting it, I'm connecting it to the power source of all of the universe when I say that bracha. Because it's the simple act of taking the physical and connecting it somehow into the spiritual. So that's I think, what the Ramchal is describing happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, I'm always relieved when the paragraph, after a paragraph like this, says, Kemuvan, not Kemuchan, Kemuvan, She'ein lanu esek benistarot. It's understood that we don't have any idea what this is talking about. So if he said he has no idea what he's talking about, or he said we have no business, we have no business understanding what this Ramchal meant. So we can't understand. We don't have the slightest idea what this really means. However, he says there are things we could take from it, and that's what he'll continue with Mirza Shem the next time we meet. I don't know when that'll be. Ay, 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 ay. Okay. We'll have to meet the next time we can meet. Pashta says it's the Tuesday after Yom Tov. Rabosai, we're there already. We have, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah. Tuesday is not the night this month. Or it is. So thank you all for tuning in. It gets me to push as far into this Sefer, and it's unbelievable secrets as we can get. And the Mirtz Hashem, everyone should have a Ksiv Chesima Tova, a Kit Yor, and I look forward to learning together after Yom Tov from Mirtz Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Shana Tova.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Bye.